morning I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 4, the first 13 verses. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 13. If you're looking for Hebrews in your Bible, it's toward the end. As you look at it, it will be this way. It's, if you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. If you see Thessalonians, you haven't gone far enough. It's one of those books that's really good to read, but for some reason, I think you don't read it very often. So here we are, Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, they being the Israelites of old. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God set again a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them, the Israelites, rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord our God, we give you thanks for such a passage that challenges us to find our rest in you, that reminds us that all of our thoughts and actions, all of our deeds, all of our motives will be called to account by you someday. Lord, as we look forward to that day, and as we remember the day when you came among us as a baby boy, help us to reflect well on these words and apply them to our lives, that we might be your people in truth, in word, and in deed. In Jesus' name. Olive, you said you had 32 people at your house?
Yeah.
32? That's quite a crowd. I imagine that was a lot of work. How many days after Thanksgiving did you sleep?
I had my son-in-law, our good cook.
Oh, okay. And so you had some help there.
They helped me. We had a 22 and a half pound turkey.
My goodness. 22 and a half pounds of turkey, that's a lot of food.
But it was a wonderful day.
Well, I'm glad. A wonderful day. Yeah. But it was a lot of work, I imagine.
Well, actually, I went through it, but I had to jump through a science.
After the number of years that you've been doing Thanksgiving meals, having it down to a science, I think is to be expected.
There was two families that couldn't make it.
Well, thankful for the ones that could come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was very good. Yes.
Jessica, yesterday, you were here on your birthday, of all days, decorating this sanctuary for the season. Three women, we heard, it took three women 3 hours and 3 days to get all of this up the way it was. Now, I noticed that Nancy didn't mention that if Sean said it, not, sorry, some other things. Was Sean able to participate in this? Oh, it did work, so it really was three women and not three women and a man. I'm pretty good at working. From what I hear, decorating all this stuff and putting together this massive tree is quite a chore.
Amen.
Shannon knows, this is why she got out of that job. But she was here to help anyway, so that's great. There's a lot to do in this time of year, isn't there?
Yes.
Is anybody overwhelmed by season already, and it's only November 27th? I mean, be honest. It's okay if you say no, but it's also okay if you say yes. We have in front of us 4 more weeks of all of this before we finally get to take down the tree and take down the trees and throw away all the wrapping paper that we're going to keep it, wrap it up, and fold it, and whatever you do. For the next year, I don't know. Some people do that. I don't know. I'm scared this part. This is going to be a month to remember. This is going to be a very festive time. It's going to be a very busy time. Why is it so busy for us? Well, we have all these family obligations. Like Olive said, she had all her family come in. Some weren't able to make it, but maybe they'll be able to make it next time. We have family obligations that we have to fulfill. Tara and I are still in that process of balancing 2 different sets of in-laws, you know, visiting here, visiting there. How's this all going to work? Those of you who have been our age will remember that, maybe once upon a time. It's a challenge to do all the things that we need to do. If you have to go shopping, you have to do that, in addition to all the other things that you normally have. If you have to go shopping, you have to deal with all these crowds. Anybody go out Friday, Black Friday shopping? Rosemary, you did? Oh my goodness, you're braver than I am.
But you went to have slam on sale.
Well, there you go. You went to have slam on sale.
Okay, have one store's enough.
No, that's enough. I avoid things. I avoid shopping like a plague on Black Friday. I don't like crowds. But they're not going to go away. You're still going to have crowds anytime you go for a Christmas party between now and the big day. It's just part of the season. We, as a community, say farewell to our loved ones, some who are traveling down to Florida for the season. We've already said goodbye to a couple here and there, and in the weeks to come, we'll be saying farewell and wishing all the sunshine in the world with a little bit of travel fee behind our ears, but that's okay. This is part of the busyness of the season. We say farewell. For some of us, this holiday season is not going to be so enjoyable because it will be the first or the second or the third holiday season, Christmas season, without a loved one. Someone passed away in the past year. And we need to be very open about that and say this is going to be a hard time. It is a hard time for some of us. We have extra church activities. We have a children's musical coming up in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I think. We have all of these different offerings that we're supporting for all these different adventures around the state and around the world. We have youth fundraising dinners to attend, which, by the way, will not be on the 9th of December. We just found out that this is just a side announcement for you. The youth spaghetti fundraising dinner will be at a later date. I think we're still working on what date that will be. But they had a death in Connie's extended family. And the memorial service is going to be on the date that the spaghetti dinner is going to be. They asked for that date off, but then we said, well, it's going to be enough. So there you go. So we'll have to wait for spaghetti. But we've got to schedule all these different things around all the other things that we've got to do. This is such a crazy time. Putting up a Christmas tree, putting up Christmas lights, decorations at home. This one might ask for this afternoon, I think tomorrow. Depends on when the weather will allow. All the different changes that happen to our regular routine because of the time of year that this is, you just can't get away from it. You really can't get away from it because the days are so much shorter, so there's only so much daylight to do things like all of this. If you want to get anything done outside, it's got to be done before 4:30 because it gets dark. What in the world is that? This is not daylight saving time anymore, and we're at almost at the 45th parallel, so that's how it goes. There's so much to do in such a small amount of time. And nature helps us by shortening days. Beware of that. In psychology circles and in some pastor circles that I run around, you hear the phrase put out there, all change is perceived as loss. Have you ever heard that before? It's something that psychologists in particular kind of hold on to. Every time you go through a change, it can be perceived as a type of loss. You might think about that. If there's any big change in your life, even if it's a good change, there's something ahead you left behind. Loss of independence, loss of whatever. As we're going through this season of Advent, in which we're anticipating the birth of the King, remembering that, and the coming of the King at the end of the age, there is loss that is associated with these kinds of changes. Loss of daylight, loss of time to do normal everyday activities, because you have to go shopping. Loss of freedom, because you have to go visit your monsters, and the in-laws are coming to visit. Oh, so I mean, that's all good. You ever want to stop what you're doing? You ever wish that in the busiest time of life, even if it's not this time, but maybe this is a period, you ever wish that you could just stop and take a break from it all? For whatever reason, we fill our lives so full, especially in the month of December, that we find it difficult to remember that God has promised us rest. That's what this passage from Hebrews 4 is really all about. God has promised his people a rest. And it's not just a rest that is ours to have. He did it first. He modeled it for us. After 6 long days of creating the universe, God decided to take the 7th one off. And ever after, people that followed that pattern admitted, sometimes too, demand it off of the work that we do all the time. Because God knows that it's not healthy for us to work all the time. We need rest. He needs rest. Isn't that bizarre to think about? God needed to rest from his work of creation. He rested. He didn't have to. He's God. There was nothing else for him to do at that point. But he rested. He chose to rest. Because he needed to, I guess. So who are we to work, work, work constantly? If God needs rest, why do we break ourselves every Christmas Eve by working all the time? Why do we break ourselves by working all the time anyway, regardless of what season it is? God didn't just stop from working. He rested. It's a different image there. When you're working at whatever work you do, if it's school or work or whatever it might be, when you stop from doing that, that's one level of rest. But then there's another level where you get to sit back and relax and really honestly rest. That's the kind of rest that we're talking about here in Hebrews. Here's your brief lesson for the day. I haven't thrown one of these on in a while, Nancy, so I hope you don't mind. This is good. Yeah. Katapausis. Can you say that word? Katapausis. That's a Greek word, you can say it. Katapausis. It means rest. That's the rest that we're talking about here in Hebrews 4. That is not pausis, which is just suffering. It's katapausis. By adding that prefix, kata, which is a preposition that just means applied to the self, more or less, against me or to me or something like this. It's not just stopping, it's stopping applied to me. So I'm resting now, instead of just stopping for what I'm doing. When God rested from his work, he didn't just take a pausis. He took a katapausis. I haven't done this in a long time. We need more of this. When God calls us to rest, it's not just to take pausis. It's to take katapausis. To rest from the work that we have. The reason that that is important, the reason that distinction is important, is because the word to cease means you're not going to do anything anymore. You're not doing what you're doing. Cease. So, to rest means you're building up energy to get back to it. The work is done. There's more to be done, but we need to withdraw to take a rest for a while so we can go back in. This is what God did at the end of this work of creation. The creative work was already finished. There was no more creating to be done. God, in 6 days, created the universe, and that's it. But his work never ended. He has always been active. How do I know? It says so right in his word. His word, referencing itself, says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that divides between joint and marrow, sword, spirit and body, soul and mind. God is always active, even though he has taken his kataprosis, his rest from creation. So we too, when we take a rest from the busyness that we find ourselves in, don't just cease from doing everything that we need to do, we rest so that we can get back to it. It is out of the core of God's perfect rest that God continues to work. It is out of that core of God's perfect rest that we are invited to participate. We are invited by the author of Hebrews here to participate in God's perfect rest. So let us make every effort to enter that rest, Hebrews says. Making effort, working to rest, that's hard to think about, isn't it? You would think that taking a rest would just be holding down the hat over your eyes and taking a little siesta, snoozing all day long. But no, let's make every effort to enter that rest. It's a contradiction of terms almost. We have to work to enter God's rest. Well, what is that rest? What's Hebrews really talking about? One idea is to say that rest is heaven, the promised land. They are the eternal reward that awaits those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We work now in this world so that we will enter that rest. After all, Joshua, remember in the passage here, who led the Israelites into the promised land, didn't allow them to rest until they had gotten into the promised land. But even then, once he had gotten them into the promised land, God didn't allow them to rest completely because there was an inheritance yet to come. This is what Hebrews is talking about. God spoke later about another day that will come, another day of rest. So maybe the rest that we're waiting for is heaven. But if you know me well enough, you know the first idea that I present is never really what I'm trying to get at. It might be heaven, but there might be another idea here. I think Hebrews suggests that we can enter into that rest today, in this life. We can enter into God's rest, perfect rest, that katakasis, today, here, in the midst of the Christmas season, in the midst of all the busyness of life. We can enter into that rest through obedience. This is what the Israelites of old didn't do. What he was talking about, the Israelites long, long time ago, when they were brought into the promised land, didn't remain obedient to the Lord. And so they didn't get that perfect rest. Through obedience to the Lord, we can find a perfect rest, one that allows us to be strengthened for the work that is done. We are to be like our Lord, the one who has this inner core of resting that allows him, after his hard work of creation, to continue working for the behalf, on behalf of his people, for the sake of his people, to shower us with blessings, to guide us along our journey, to meet our needs, to work in our world. This is taxing work, I'm sure. Out of his inner core, he is able to do this. It's not an idle rest. It is a rest which strengthens us. There's a hymn in our hymnal, which I won't have to sing today because the tune is a little unfamiliar to us, but I'll read the words to you. It's number 676. Am I a soldier of the cross? Words written by Isaac Watts, one of the great hymn writers from the 19th century, I think it was. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to open his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Am I a soldier of the cross? Must I be lifted to the skies on flowery beds of ease? The road that we have to follow as believers in the one whom we celebrate this season is not an easy road. It's a busy road. And our culture makes it busier by making us meet with family and buy presents and put up Christmas trees. It's already busy enough to be a disciple of Christ. It's even harder this month because of all the extra stuff we've got to do. Our eternal rest is there. It's waiting for us. But there is rest to be had even today. We cannot survive without rest. We cannot survive without peace. We cannot survive season after season, year after year, without being rooted in God's rest. We need this sustaining, intimate, spiritual relationship with God. That's one of the reasons why we have an Advent season, to remind us of our need for this ongoing relationship with the Lord. Part of this preparation is the business of making room in our lives for the Lord. It's particularly difficult this time of year because there's so much other stuff built into our schedules, but making room for the Lord is important. The sign out on the street has a meaning to it. Stop what you're doing. Not just today to come to church, because that's fine and good, and I'm glad you're here, but through the month to come, as the season continues to be busy for us, stop what you're doing. Find times to stop what you're doing and refresh yourself in your relationship with God. I encourage you to find a way, a routine, a place, a regular practice for you to hear the story of Jesus' birth and its meaning anew, afresh. This is a challenge for us every year, especially those of us who have been around the church for a long time, to hear this story new, like it was the first time. Find a way to do that. Find room in your life to make this story real again, so that you might have katharsis for the journey of life ahead. How can this happen? How can you do it? Well, I have something to encourage you, but something to illustrate this way. In your mailboxes up front, in the narthex, are these devotional booklets, meditation journals. The Women of the Church of God put these out every year, and our WCG ladies order these, and they're in your mailboxes waiting for you. There's probably a few extras out there for their visitors. A small stack. Okay, so be gentle with these. But there are daily devotionals in these booklets from December 1 going all the way through December 25. One a day. Make room. It's a very simple thing to do. Make room takes about 5 minutes to read, to reflect, to answer some questions that are there. Make room. If it's not this, do something else to make room for Christ in your life, because we cannot survive without it. This is who we are. We are people of Advent, people waiting for the birth of Christ, people always waiting for his return. Find rest and keep on with the best that will result. O Lord our God, we give you thanks this day for the model of work and then rest and then continued work that you laid out for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this congregation as we go through the busiest time of year for us as a church. Maybe the busiest time of year for us as individuals. Help us to find rest in you, a rest that is truly nourishing to our souls, that allows us to rejoice in our relationship with you and to find energy for the work that still lies ahead. Help us to be true soldiers of the cross that are not carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, but wade through murky waters, toiling and struggling every day, knowing that our true rest in you awaits us and is present with us all the time. We thank you for this passage from Hebrews, which instructs us on how to live, and ask that you would root it in us as surely as we yearn to root it in you. In Jesus' strong and holy name we pray.